This is Radio 4. Now for the fourth play in our 1920 season, Christmas at the Ritz.
Here we are, old beans. Programmes all round.
Oh, I say, the play is absolutely chocker. Of course it is. Anyone who is anyone wants to see on a beautiful.
You fancy another sitter, Ronnie?
No time, Hubert. Curtain up at any moment.
Oh.
Lovely little theatre of fortune, don't you think?
Yes. I bet Freddie Lonsdale rubbing his hands with glee at the sight of this crowd.
Freddie Lonsdale is the author of On Approval, Hubert.
I'm not a half-wit, Mabel. I remember who's in it, too.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's performance of On Approval will begin in 1 minute.
Oh,
come on, Ronnie. I love the portraits on the walls. Look, there's John standing.
Ah, yes, he's Richard.
Naughty twinkle in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
And next to him is Mariah Aitken. She's playing her namesake, Mariah.
Oh, very glamorous. That must be Samantha Ball.
Oh, what a puppet. She's playing Helen.
Oh, and there's that dishy young man who's all out with.
That's your old friend, Alex Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
He completes the cast as the Duke of Bristol.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's performance on Approval is about to begin.
The band's striking up. Come on, let's find out what the fashionable set get up to.
I hope his cigar chokes him.
Darling Mariah, you take George too seriously.
Do I? If George were not a duke, Helen, no one would know him.
The beast.
But what did he do that's annoyed you so much?
From the moment we sat down to dinner, his only conversation was women over 40.
Then you could never have been in his mind, because he kept saying that you were only 38.
I was born on the same day as his stepmother, and that damn woman couldn't keep her mouth shut about anything. Oh, how I dislike him.
How ridiculous you are. Lick you over your coffee.
No, thank you. Even as a boy, he was unpleasant. If he hadn't been the Duke of Bristol and we hadn't been snobs, not one of us would have even dared take him on our knee. Hideous child, how I detested him.
I'm sorry, Mariah, because I like him so much.
That reminds me. Why is he always dining at your house?
I've told you. I like him so much.
You wouldn't marry him, Helen.
How far is it from here in a taxi to St. George's Hanover Square?
10 minutes, why?
If he asked me to marry him tonight, Mariah, I'd undertake to run it in fire.
Helen, you're mad.
Am I? It's an attractive complaint.
But he literally hasn't a penny in the world.
My father was a far-seeing man. He bottled some pickles.
This is terrible, terrible. Will you believe me if I tell you that he hasn't one penny in the world, and if he married you, it'll only be for your money?
I can't see that makes him very terrible. A lot of women have lived with him for his.
Keep silent a moment. I think I'm going to have a stroke.
What do you see in the brute?
Everything.
He's not bad looking. Has a charming voice. He's witty. And I adore him.
If you married George in a year, you'd find he's none of these things.
I should.
19 years ago, I was asked in a church if I would take a man to be my wedded husband. And I answered yes. I looked at him and believed he looked and was everything he wasn't. He then drove me home for the purpose of proving to me that he was everything that he was.
You needn't be the least bit alarmed. The reason the Duke of Bristol comes here so often is he's fond of my cook, he approves of my champagne, my cigars are in perfect condition, and my coffee is the only coffee worth drinking. But to me, personally, he is entirely indifferent. I don't exist.
Thank God.
That's cruel of you.
The reverse. It's kind of me. A girl of 22, an orphan, and one of the richest women in England, you're at the mercy of any man like him.
Then even if you loved someone terribly, you would never marry again?
I don't say that, but if I ever do, I shall require to know a great deal more about the next one than I did about the last.
I don't see how that can ever be done.
It can. I should take him away alone for 1 month on approval.
Darling, supposing at the end of the month you found you didn't like him, what would you do then?
Give him his railway fare and send him home again.
Wouldn't your position be a little embarrassing?
Not in the least. I should give him clearly to understand when we started that I was taking him away only to find out if he loved me for myself alone. If, when we were away, I found I'd not convinced him that was the case, I should then, in a subtle way, prove to him I was one of the few women in England who could use a revolver accurately.
I wish you would do it, darling. It would be a marvellous precedent for other women if you did.
I'm thinking very seriously of doing it.
You don't mean that.
At your table tonight, there was a man,
Richard Holter,
whom I've known all my life, and who ever since I've known him has, for causes of shyness or lack of means, not been able to quite tell me that he loves me.
I have always believed Richard adores you, and he's one of the nicest men in all the world.
On the surface, he appears everything that is desirable, but married to him, he may be none of these things. That's what I'm thinking seriously of finding out.
You were going to take him away on the cruise.
I say I may. Careful. Here they come.
Well, here we are.
Curiously enough, George, I am able to control my excitement.
Splendid.
Sing us something, Helen.
I'm sorry, Richard, but I don't sing.
Oh, I congratulate you, Helen. That is a great accomplishment. I suggest our dear and revered old friend Maria dances us the Charleston.
I'm neither your dear, nor your revered, nor your old friend, and I suggest you try and say something intelligent.
Naughty, naughty. That's the third time you've spoken harshly to me tonight.
If you had a little more brain, you'd be in an asylum.
Richard has either enjoyed your joke immensely or has eaten something indigestible. Richard? Tell them that story you told me at dinner.
What story?
You know, the man who said he couldn't sing.
I don't remember it.
Oh, don't be absurd. Of course you do.
I tell you, I don't.
Do you tell coarse stories, Richard?
Certainly not.
Then tell it.
Well, it has one word in it that I don't care to use before ladies.
Leave out the word.
Well, then the story has no point.
Here, I'll tell it.
You'll do nothing of the sort, George.
Exactly. I thought so, what I was saying to you just now, Helen. What does any woman know about any man?
But what is much more to the point is, what does any man know about any woman?
Having made the remark of a complete imbecile, perhaps you'll tell us the answer.
Well, he knows everything about them. And, you nasty old lady, you expected me to say he knew nothing about them. Gotcha!
If you use the word old again to me, I'll throw something at you.
Very well, but I pray that when I reach the age of nearly 41, I shall not be ashamed. My stepmother, who will be 41 in August, isn't.
Beast! Beast!
Stop her that time, George. You're a bunder.
Funny you should say that. A woman said exactly the same thing to me at dinner last night. I suppose I am. Am I a bunder, Helen?
I don't think so. But you have upset Maria terribly.
And? If you're a gentleman, you will at once go and tell her you're sorry.
A gentleman, Richard, is a man of courage without imagination. Were Maria a lady by nature instead of by birth, I should at once go and tell her I was sorry.
Then I shall go and tell her that I'm sorry for you. Will you forgive me, Helen?
Of course.
Oh, there's something terribly attractive about an English gentleman. I wish I'd been born one instead of a duke.
Why aren't you one?
No, it's out of the question. If I were, the middle classes would have nothing to talk about. Oh, my mood tonight, Helen, is one of singular sadness. I have a grievance against God's creatures. I feel they don't appreciate me. Every morning of my life I expect to be wakened by someone saying, come at once, you have been made governor of the Bank of England. And the most that ever happens is someone says, there's a gent downstairs who says the president of the divorce court would like to speak to you.
I think that's a great pity.
It is. It's expensive.
Have you no ambition in life? No desire to do anything for anyone?
Well, I think of the miseries of others. My heart bleeds so profusely for them that it almost ceases to bleed for the miseries of my own.
Instead of only thinking about others, mightn't you be happier if you did something for them?
Oh, my dear. The most that can be expected of any duke is to think.
Then marriage has no attraction for you.
It always has had considerable attraction for me. No less than the husbands of three women I have known have threatened me with it.
I was meaning some unmarried girl who was fond of you and might make you very happy.
That's very curious you should say that. My trustees and myself meet in committee on that subject at 11 tomorrow morning.
They want you to marry?
They insist.
Are you going to?
Well, I have promised them an answer tomorrow at 11.
What is your answer going to be?
I do not know.
Come and dine with me tomorrow evening and tell me what you've decided to do.
Oh, I'd adore to. That's charming of you. You're very sympathetic, Helen.
I suppose it's because I like you, George.
Oh, that's charming of you. Really, it is.
George?
Hmm? I hope it amuses you to have made a woman cry.
But I have said nothing that could possibly make Maria cry.
Didn't you, in a sneering way, accuse her of being 41?
I did. But she's not crying because I said she was 41. She's crying because she is 41.
Oh, you bounder.
Is she very upset, Richard?
I hope I will never see anyone as upset again as she is. I could do nothing with her. She even asked me to tell that story to take her mind off her unhappiness.
Did she laugh?
Laugh? It only increased her misery. I gather the story was older than I was.
I must go and find her.
Hmm.
Help yourself to a drink.
Whiskey with water or soda, Richard?
Hmm. I won't have a drink, thanks. You, I say, there's a rumour all over the city that you're broke.
The city, for once, is correct. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I have to decide which it's to be, marriage or bankruptcy.
I'm very sorry.
I'm touched, Richard.
But you couldn't have got through everything.
I am given to understand that I have even eaten the grass my horses live on.
I am sorry.
Thank you, Richard. And at 11 tomorrow, I, George, 12th Duke of Bristol, a man whose very soul quivers with sentiment, whose heart beats only for romance, has to sell himself for money. It's a very serious thing, Richard.
No, I agree it is.
Mm. But you don't know how serious it is. It means infidelity, Richard. That's what it means. Infidelity.
It might not. I've known cases where...
For her sake, it's good for you to be an optimist, but you're wrong. I am a man who should essentially marry for love.
We all should. I, too, have loved. I have loved for over 20 years the most beautiful lady in the world.
Why haven't you told me about this?
One doesn't wear one's heart on one's sleeve.
But one should. What's the fun if one doesn't?
A love like mine cannot be discussed.
Do I know her?
Intimately.
Who is it? Who is it?
Maria Wislap.
Do you mean to tell me that you have loved that old...
Silence. If I'm not mistaken, you were about to call her by a name that would have prevented me from ever speaking to you again.
Have a drink. Or have you had too many?
I will have a drink. And I've not had too many.
Richard, oh boy, I love you as a brother, but I must say it, I'd rather see you dead.
George? I mean it. If you say one word again that reflects in the least way against Maria, our friendship's at an end.
Very well. But you can't stop me wishing you were dead. Drink this.
Oh, thank you.
Did you know her late husband, Arthur?
Did I know him? Did I watch him with murder in my heart, treating that divine creature with cruelty, neglect, and eventually die of drink?
He hated drink.
Then why did he?
He chose it as being the most agreeable way of being unconscious whilst waiting for his release.
No, I warned you, George. I told you that if you said another word that reflected it...
Sit down and don't be so damn dignified. Does she love you?
How should I know?
Well, haven't you asked her if she does?
Mrs. Wislack's income is at least £25,000 a year. Mine is £300,000.
With or without income tax?
I am not a fool, George.
But I was always under the impression that you had at least £1,500 a year.
Yes. But unfortunately, all the horses that I've been interested in have been entirely without ambition. They only run for running's sake.
We have a great deal in common. But I take everything back. You have offered me a reason why you are right to love her. I applaud you.
What do you mean?
She has £35,000 a year.
No, no, are you suggesting that I love her because she has money?
I suggest it's the reason you should.
Now, George, let us understand each other. My love for Maria has lasted through the years. I love her not for what she has, but for what she is. Now, if she were poor, I'd ask her to marry me tonight.
Well, I had no idea you loved her as much as this, Richard.
Well, I hope you understand it now.
I do. And I propose to help you.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
I shall go to her at once with a tremor in my voice. I will tell her of your love for her. And then I will wait for the answer and bring it back to you. Thank you. But if there's to be any tremoring of the voice, I will be obliged if you will leave it to me.
And tonight.
Well, what do you mean?
I am determined before the night is out that you will be under the impression that you are the happiest man in the world.
How do you propose to do that?
You shall tell her in this room of your love for her.
That's out of the question.
I insist.
I haven't the courage.
You shall have it.
My dear George, hundreds of times I've been on the verge of asking her, and my courage has failed me at the last moment.
Ever tried brandy?
I have.
Never.
You know, one night, I sat with a bottle of brandy in front of me and recited to it the language that I would use when asking her to be my wife. With the result that when I entered the room, I wasn't even able to wish her good evening.
Oh, bad luck.
No, no. I am resigned to bachelorhood and solitude. No, don't encourage me, there's a good fellow. It's hopeless.
Richard, I give you my word of honour that a month from tonight, you'll pop into her bed and say, Mariah, here I am.
George, that is an observation which I consider most unsuitable here or in any place that you suggest that I should make it.
I was speaking metaphorically.
I trust so.
Loving her, as you do, Richard, you must think what it would mean to you. Someone to talk to be with, no money cares, no cares of any kind. Just a happy, jolly fellow, smiling his way through life.
It's attractive, but it's not for me.
Don't think of the little ones prattling up and down the room. No, I take that back.
Why?
Oh, very well, if you insist.
Oh, married life without children. Are you laughing, George?
No, I have a cold coming on.
Well, it's the sort of thing you would laugh at.
Not as much as the children would, Richard.
And what do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing. Listen, I'm going to help you. When Mariah comes into this room, I'm going to force myself to be nice to her. I'm going to be at my best. I'm, as it were, going to warm her up for you to make your proposal, Richard.
Oh, no.
Then, at the right moment, I will persuade Helen to accompany me to the garden, thereby leaving Mariah alone with you.
Oh, no.
Richard, either you or I will ask Mariah to marry you tonight.
How would you advise me to begin?
Well, I have always found it wiser to begin by putting both your arms around them, pausing for a second before speaking, and then saying, God, how I love you.
Yes, well, that might be a good plan with women that are married, but would it be with a woman that you want to?
True. There you've got me. Let me think. Yes, I think it would be. Women love surprises.
She's had too many. And if it misfired, listen, she's as strong as a horse.
Then I should treat her softly. I should metaphorically coo at her.
No, I don't think so.
Why not?
She's clever. She would metaphorically coo back.
No, then you must rely on instinct.
No, I can't. She would think I wanted to marry her for her money.
Nonsense, she's much too vain. I insist, Richard. Understand?
I'll try. But you will be nice to her, George.
Even you won't know me. Richard, rely on me. I am going to pave the way for you marvellously.
We've been in the garden.
Ah.
It's a divine night.
You seem to have drunk quite a nice lot of whiskey. Just look at that decanter.
Oh, I'm afraid I did that. Richard let me down. He finds one whiskey and soda in the evening is enough.
I'm glad to hear it.
Mariah.
Well?
I apparently said something tonight, quite unintentionally, that offended and hurt you.
Well?
I'm sorry.
Obviously you've been drinking.
What makes you say that?
You'd never have apologized if you hadn't.
You're wrong. I drank because I was depressed. Richard depressed me. Whilst you were in the garden, Richard has been pointing to me my limitations so gently, so understandingly, that I was compelled to listen. He has made me feel that all is not well with George, the 12th Duke of Bristol.
So?
The simplicity of his nature conquered me. I thought I had known Richard all my life. I was wrong. I did not know him until tonight. Oh, dear Richard. It wasn't so much what he told me about myself as what he told me about himself that affected me.
As, for instance?
His gentleness and kindly feeling towards the world, his love of only that which is beautiful, his adoration for little children.
How many has he?
Richard is a bachelor.
That doesn't answer my question.
None.
How do you know?
He is not that kind of man.
I see. Go on.
Helen, my dear, you and I are only very young.
What?
Perhaps we are right to believe all that is told us, but if Richard has lied to me tonight and has cheated me into believing he is all the things that he is not, I will never speak to him again.
No, I said nothing. I didn't mean.
And I believe you, Richard, and through you, I have a feeling tonight, and for the first time in my life, that I would like to get nearer to nature. I would like to walk on grass, inhale the scent of flowers, listen to the birds singing their simple songs of love. I feel it would help me to find myself more completely.
Try the morning. Birds don't sing at night.
Not for you. Helen, would it amuse you to accompany me?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, I'm delighted. You will find me very silent.
Oh, I don't mind.
Well, Richard, don't you wish to hear the birds singing their simple songs of love?
I rather felt George was exaggerating.
Is that young man drunk, or has he acquired a habit of borrowing money from women?
Well, I don't quite understand.
I don't know what's the matter with him, because I know he hates me.
Oh, no, I think you're wrong. He said only charming things about you when you were outside.
Tell me at once.
Oh, he said you had a heart of gold.
I knew he hated me.
Not at all. And many other equally nice things.
Tell me some of those lofty thoughts which have made him wish to walk on grass.
But it was nothing, really. I was describing to him the loneliness of one's life. But living alone, no one to talk to, no one to care for, the utter misery of it all. And the need men have for the affection of a good woman.
Go on.
But I described to him the happiness one would feel in having someone one loved to dine with and to talk to instead of sitting down miserably eating one's food alone as I do.
Horrid for you. Seeing as you do, Richard, I wonder that you don't marry.
Oh.
Meaning?
The love of a good woman is not for me.
Well, then try one of the others. There are any number of those to choose from.
No. There is, and only has been, one woman that I would care to share my life with.
And have you asked her to?
No.
Why not?
She's too good, too beautiful, too noble for such as me. I must forever love her from the distance. I must forever worship her in silence.
Oh, do shut up.
I'm sorry.
How much longer are you going to go on beating about the bush instead of coming out into the open like a man and saying, Maria, I love you, will you, or won't you be my wife?
How did you know?
How did I know? Haven't I had to listen to this meandering rubbish every time I ever met you?
And I had no idea you knew.
You love me?
With all my heart. With all my...
Quite so, but let's proceed. Is your object matrimony or the other?
I would give 10 years of my life to be your husband.
I've no desire that our marriage ceremony should take the form of a burial service. Now, Richard, I should like you to know that I'm very fond of you.
I cannot believe it. Why should you care for me?
You'd be wise in encouraging me not to dwell on that.
Oh, well, quite.
And in addition, you're the only man I know that I would for a moment consider marrying.
Oh, this is too wonderful to be true.
But don't get too excited. You're getting the best part first. You agree to be a successful businessman, you must be practical.
Oh, most emphatically I do.
Very well, so let us be practical. My income is £25,000 a year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. What is yours?
Mine?
Yes.
Well, it varies. Sometimes it's up, and then again, it's down.
So how much is it when it's up?
Do you know, money means so little to me, I haven't really any idea.
Where do you bank?
Anywhere. I simply don't care.
Could you provide for me?
I could, but I'm not sure it would be in the way that you have become used to.
Well, I could provide for us in the way that I've become used to.
That is true.
So the money is of no consequence?
No.
And the only question is, would we be happy?
I should be very happy.
As I am going to do the providing, would you mind including me in your conversation? I said, would we, meaning myself, be happy?
My life would be devoted to nothing else. You have known me long enough, surely, to know that.
Having been married before, I know that it is possible you're none of the things you appear to be.
Well, I am described by my friends as a simple fellow.
So was my late husband.
He was so simple that I never understood one single thing he did for 18 years. Richard, you said that you love me.
With all my heart. With all my...
Yeah, I love you, embraces all that. Now, I have a house in Scotland. What is it today?
Tuesday.
Very well. I suggest that you and I, on Thursday night, by the midnight train, travel there for 1 month.
Right. It sounds delightful, but with what particular object?
To all intents and purposes, we will spend a month alone together as married people.
You and I spend a month alone together as married people?
Yes.
You're not serious.
I am.
But what an extraordinarily good idea. What an intensely good idea.
I'm glad you like it. We will, so to speak, breakfast, lunch and dine together, just as if we were married.
This is perfectly delightful. No, I really congratulate you most sincerely. Oh, it's charming. Oh, and the courage of it.
If at the end of the month I find that we think alike, as it were, that you were a pleasant person to live with, I'll marry you.
And if I'm not, we've had a grand time and no harm done.
No.
Really, I can't tell you how highly I think of it. Really, I do congratulate you. I never remember looking forward to anything so much.
Each night you will hear a clock in the hall strike 11, which will be the signal for you to start putting your coat on.
With what idea?
With the idea of going out.
But I shall have had all the exercise I need during the day. I know. The dog.
On the hall table, you'll find a lantern. It'll help you to find your way to the hotel a mile away.
Precisely for what reason do I go to an hotel?
It's optional, but it's the place where you'll be sleeping.
Ah. So I don't sleep in the house?
You don't.
Well, how about wet nights?
I should advise you bringing a raincoat.
Yes. A raincoat. I must say, it seems to me you would learn a great deal more about me if I were actually in the house the whole time.
I shall endeavour to learn all I want to know without that.
Very well.
And I'm not in the habit of staying in houses with a man alone.
Now, I trust I'm a gentleman.
I shall be able to tell in a month's time. Well, what do you say?
I accept, of course. And I wish you to know I shall do everything in my power to prove to you that your happiness with me is assured.
I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to be natural.
Well, I couldn't be anything else.
Then we leave midnight Thursday.
We do?
You'll call for me and take me to the station?
I will.
Very well.
Oh. You're going?
Yes, I know. I did it so late. I make it a rule, Richard, never to be out of my bed after 11:30.
Oh, well, I shall be very happy to acquire a similar habit. I'll see you home.
It's not necessary. I'll go through the garden. My house is only 20 yards away. You may kiss me good night, Richard.
Good night, Mariah dear.
I hope I shall find that you are all that I think you are.
I hope you'll find that I'm a great deal more than you think I am.
Good night, Richard.
Do I or do I not see a happy man?
You do, George.
She's accepted you.
She hasn't.
She's refused you and you're delighted. Mm. And so am I.
Well, she hasn't refused me.
Well, what did she do?
That's entirely my business.
Mariah has gone away in a terribly good mood, Richard. Am I to congratulate you?
Well, in a way, Helen. At all events, you'll be able to, a month from today. You will look at me and say, there's a happy man of the world.
Then you are engaged to Mariah.
I tell you, I'm not.
Then what are you?
Well, I'm half engaged to her and half married to her.
Has the old girl been trying to find out what effect drink has on you?
Unless you are able to speak of my future wife in prettier language, I shall ask you not to speak to me again.
Why a month from today, Richard?
Well, the position is this. Owing to there being men in the world like George, we are, in consequence, all suspects. I leave on Thursday night for Scotland with Mariah, that we may spend a month together with the idea of discovering if we possess those things in common that would make for a permanent, happy, married life.
You and Mariah go off to Scotland for a month alone to find out if you will be all right married?
I dislike your phraseology, George, but the answer is we do.
Very hot.
What do you mean?
Well, isn't it?
I can see now why Mariah mistrusts men. You are not suggesting that I would stay in the same house with her at night alone, are you?
Aren't you?
How dare you? Only a man like you could ever have thought such a thing. I sleep at an hotel.
Do you mean to tell me that every night you leave her and go to an hotel?
Well, what else do you suggest I should do?
Stay in the house with her.
You cad.
But suppose it's raining.
I've thought of that. I shall take my raincoat.
What do you think about it, Helen?
To me, it all seems very unnecessary. Nothing would induce me to go to Scotland at this time of year. If I cared for anyone enough, I should know him so well I'd marry him at once.
I agree.
Well, I'm sorry, but I see Maria's point perfectly. I think she's perfectly right.
Do you think you will be able to convince her you are all right, Richard?
I am all right.
Good. Oh, I wish I were there to help you. 1 minute.
Hmm? Anything the matter?
An idea is creeping into my brain. Richard, I am going to be of infinite service to you.
Mm-hmm.
Every night you return to that hotel, you will find me there, prepared with what you have to say to her tomorrow.
Well, what do you mean?
My position in London is precarious. I wish to leave it. It is suggested I should make up my mind on a subject of considerable finality immediately. I do not wish to. It would suit me perfectly to spend a quiet month in Scotland.
And come and stay at my hotel?
Mm, precisely.
Well, that would be marvellous. No.
Why not?
If Maria knew, she would strongly disapprove.
She wouldn't, though. I would enter my name in the hotel book as Smith. Then in my manner and my appearance would suggest I am who I am.
Well, I like the idea, but I must think about it.
No, it's definite, Richard. I am coming. I leave by the midnight train on Friday.
No. It must be talked over seriously.
It shall be. Have you any whiskey in your room?
I think so.
We will adjourn there. Helen, I dine with you tomorrow. I look forward to it very much.
9 o'clock.
To the minute. And thank you for an exceedingly pleasant evening. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, good night, Helen, dear. I can't tell you how happy I am.
I hope you always will be, Richard.
I know I shall.
Come on, Richard.
Good night. Good night.
I want Mayfair 1062. Is that Mrs. Porteous's house? Would you be good enough to tell Mrs. Porteous that Miss Hale will be unable to dine with her on Friday night, as she is going to Scotland? Thank you.
To two. Hasn't that young man you like so much come in yet, Helen?
No.
Does George realize those beasts of servants left me at a moment's notice and we're doing all their work?
Of course.
So why isn't he here for his lunch at 1 o'clock as you asked him to be?
I'm nervous that something has happened to him.
Nervous that something hasn't? The way you pander to George makes me ill with rage.
I'm sorry, darling.
You follow him to Scotland? You persuade me to let him stay here. You wait on him hand and foot. Oh, you make me so angry I can't speak.
I'm sorry.
There is nothing to be amused about. Having spent 3 weeks with him practically alone, haven't you discovered that George is one of the most odious creatures that ever lived?
The only thing that I've discovered is that I'm the happiest woman in the world.
You don't mean to tell me that you still like him?
I have never been so happy, darling.
God, give me strength. How can you tolerate his unutterable selfishness?
Easily. It's only part of his education.
And realizing that, you still like him.
I can't tell you how grateful I am to you.
For what?
For being the cause of my spending 3 weeks practically alone with dear George.
I hope you will always be as happy as you appear to be now.
Thanks to you, darling, I'm going to be.
Then I take it he's asked you to marry him.
Not yet. But he's soon going to.
I hope he'll be happy. Richard's been a long time gone to the village.
The hill back from the village is steep and 3 miles long.
And owing to your servants leaving you and the car not being available till this afternoon, he's had to climb it twice today.
But he left here before 12.
It's a steep hill, darling, and 3 miles long.
Oh, you find excuses for anyone. Helen, as a friend, what is your true opinion of Richard?
I'm sure that Richard is the kindest, sweetest man I've ever known.
You don't think he's merely giving a good impression?
No, I'm sure he's not. But if he is, darling, he's an unusually clever man.
In what way?
You haven't left much undone to find out if he has any particular weakness, have you, darling?
Oh, how can you be so horrid? I've never been so nice to anyone as I've been to Richard.
Are you suggesting I haven't been nice to him? No. How could I suggest such a thing? When Richard described you as an angel.
When did he?
Last night. This morning. Always when he speaks of you.
Yes, but perhaps he said it hoping you'd repeat it.
You must have discovered very little about Richard to even think that, darling.
Anyway, I'm glad he said it. Very glad.
Who's George? Isn't it divine to hear him so happy?
Tell me something more exquisite than Scotland on a beautiful day.
Lunch.
Thank God nothing has happened to you, George.
Why? Did you think something had?
I did rather. As you went out, I asked you, as there were no servants, to be in to lunch at 1. And when 1:45 came, I began to think that something terrible had happened to you. As you knew, we had no servants.
Oh, charming, charming. I'm grateful. The fact of the matter is, I lost myself in a letter I was writing to the Times on why England always loses at games. After lunch, I will read it to you.
That will be divine.
I think it will cause a sensation.
That you can write a letter at all will cause a great sensation.
Writing it has quite exhausted me. Is lunch ready? I feel quite hungry.
Your lunch has been ready for over 3/4 of an hour.
Oh, no. I hope it isn't spoiled.
I'll bring it to you, George, dear, if you'll sit down at the table.
Thank you, Helen. And what have you been doing, my dear?
It's so damn patronizing. I've been cleaning up your filthy, untidy bedroom and cooking your lunch.
Ah, but if you hadn't quarreled with your servants, you wouldn't have had to do either.
I did not quarrel with my servants.
Then they quarreled with you, which is a mere distinction without a difference.
Yes, George, dear. I hope you haven't dried up.
Oh, thank you, Helen. Some bread.
I'm so sorry, I forgot.
By the way, where is Richard?
Richard, at this moment, is walking up that hill with things that you will eat for your dinner tonight.
Good. I hope he hasn't forgotten to bring me my time.
You hope he has, George, darling.
And butter, dear.
I'm so sorry. George, in the cellar there is champagne. Moselle, hock, claret. Please let me fetch you something.
Mariah, you know I never drink a plum.
Oh, but I want you to. I want you to let me fetch it for you.
If you will allow me to say so, your joke is singularly unfunny.
Butter, George. Would you like some of this rice pudding?
Now, to say I would like rice pudding, Helen, would be as inaccurate as it would be insincere. But to say that I am hungry and will have some rice pudding is an entirely different matter. Where's the cream?
There is no cream.
What? No cream?
Do you know what would give me more pleasure than anything else in the world?
I cannot imagine.
To rub your nose in rice pudding.
Even if it is through one's own fault one has lost one's servants and one is tired, one should endeavour to avoid crudity, Maria.
Pst! I'm afraid I didn't put quite enough milk in it, George, dear.
I agree, but what it lacks in milk, it makes up for in rice.
Throw it at him.
I can quite see why you don't keep your servants, Maria.
George, please.
Have I said the wrong thing again?
This is the third time you've suggested that it's through my fault my servants have left me.
I'll put it another way. I suggest one has to like you very much to remain in the same house with you, Maria, darling.
Beast! Beast! George, what pleasure do you derive from always irritating Maria as you do?
I irritate her? I'm charming to her. Not once have I, for Richard's sake, told her she is a disagreeable old...
Oh, she's not as bad as that.
Well, you told me yourself that if you were a servant girl, you'd rather starve than work for her.
Jesus, George. With all her faults, I am fond of Maria.
Do you think she is nice to Richard, who adores her and waits on her hand and foot?
I think she means to be.
No, that isn't true. You said so yourself. She nags him, throttles him about, won't let him do this or that. Have you ever in your life met with such selfishness?
Yes.
once.
You're lucky. I never have. It angers me so much I have difficulty in controlling myself.
Richard, my poor sweet. Twice up that dreadful hill. You must be exhausted. Let me take those passes.
Thank you, Helen. I'm a bit puffed. Where's Mariah?
In the kitchen.
Is she all right?
Perfectly.
That is not true. Oh, Mariah's annoyed with me for being so long. Yep, she's annoyed with me. Oh, well, I expect she had some excellent reason. And this is the return I get for coming up to Scotland to stand by you, remaining under the most extreme discomfort and insults to help you to win her. Well, now, let me tell you something. I haven't a chance in the world of winning her, but if I had, it would be in spite of you. Huh? At least 50 times, you've nearly damned my chances. I wish to leave you, Richard. Give me my times. I hadn't time to get it. Well, up all the selfish
death. Oh, Richard, say you're back. I suppose you forgot I told you I wanted these things at once.
Oh, and I know I've been a long time, but there were so many things that I had to buy.
Oh, it's all right. I expect you met a friend. Mariah, darling, you obviously have no idea what it means to climb that hill twice in one day.
Nonsense. Just that he wants to and all the good in the world.
Yes.
Yes. Well, were you able to buy everything?
Everything. That is not true. He did not bring me my time.
Sit down, George, and try and alter your monotonous voice.
Oh, I agree. It drives one mad. Oh, don't pander to her, Richard, merely because you wish to make a good impression. I'm perfectly natural. I agree with her. Then why didn't you tell me the night before we left London that my voice was my chief asset?
Did you tell him that, Richard?
Well, I may have done. I only know that unless you keep telling him he's something that he isn't, he sounds. No.
You sent my telegram?
Oh, dear.
Richard, you don't have to tell me you forgot to send it.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Mariah, but I'm afraid I did.
This is too bad. Do you realize I won't have a single thing to read for two whole days?
I know, and I can't tell you how sorry I am.
What's the use of being sorry? If I'd known you were not going to send it, I should have gone myself. Too annoying. But I notice you brought all the things you want.
Richard, tell her to go to hell.
What did you say?
I said you looked tired and not at all well.
No, I'm all right. No, really, I am.
Of course he's all right.
Mariah, I would like you to believe me.
Please, what? Don't worry. It's not important. It's only my books. I realize it's far too much to expect anyone to remember such a trivial thing. I should have gone myself.
If I walked up that hill twice and a woman spoke to me like that, I... Well, George, as you haven't walked up once, mind your own business. She asked me particularly to telegraph for her books, and I realize it's most disappointing, and I am terribly sorry.
You make me sick.
I will make you sick if you're not careful. Helen, I would like you to walk with me. I am anxious to read you my letter to the Times.
If you mean it, George.
I don't understand.
So often, after I've taken the trouble to change my clothes, you've changed your mind.
I mean to walk.
Very well. Richard, I was right when I told you. You didn't look at all well.
May I take part in the joke? No. No, you can't. Oh, I nearly forgot. Hmm? I met the telegraph boy coming up the hill, and he gave me this telegram for you. Thank you. Oh. Don't you open telegrams? Not the ones I send myself. What did you send it yourself for? Tell me your joke, and I'll tell you. Very well. When Helen said, "I don't think you look at all well," I thought she said, "Tell her to go to hell." I would have you know, Richard, my fiancée is not in the habit of using that type of language.
Fiancée? Are you and Helen going to be married?
We are.
Oh, I feel hurt. I think she should have told me.
She couldn't. She doesn't know herself yet.
What do you mean?
You might have thought I'd been wasting my time here, Richard. I haven't. Believe me. I have been studying Helen very carefully, and I have come to the profound conclusion that she is, in every way, a fit person to be the Duchess of Bristol.
I agree.
She has the disadvantage of having no family behind her, as it were. Her father, unfortunately, was only a pickle maker. But by nature, she is a lady. And as I have to marry Richard, I prefer to marry Helen than anyone I know, even though at first I realized my family was strongly disapproving.
Well, why should they? Helen's one of the nicest women in the world.
I agree. To continue, I have resolved, Richard, to play my part.
In addition to the position I give her, I am going to compel myself to make her a good and faithful husband.
It's very kind of you.
Well, let me tell you this. It's a most unusual thing in our family.
Well, I suppose there's no doubt that she will marry you.
Leaving me out of it, are you suggesting that any woman would refuse to be the Duchess of Bristol?
That's true.
Don't be childish. There isn't a mother in London with an eligible daughter who won't read the news with pain.
True, true.
The relief of having made up one's mind is considerable. I can now return to London the same careless fellow you've always known me. Hence this telegram. I am urgently required in London, and I think I deserve a few days' amusement.
Is Helen returning with you?
Helen will return with you and Mariah.
Well, if you wait until tomorrow, I might be able to come with you.
Why? Are you going to leave the old...
George, Mariah is expecting two more servants tomorrow, and if they come, there will be nothing more that I can do for her.
You're through with her?
The reverse. She is through with me.
Has she told you so?
Every time she speaks to me. I've got on her nerves, George. The poor dear simply can't bear me. It's a pity, and I'm sorry, but there it is.
Oh, don't be a fool. She's always like this.
George, I've known Mariah all my life, and I've never known her like this.
Leave her and come with me tonight.
Certainly not. Nothing would induce me to leave her as long as I can be of use to her.
Noble, I call it. An idea. The moment I'm married, you can make our house your home, Richard.
Oh, thank you, George. That's charming of you.
And I'll go further. My word, I'm a good friend. I'll insist on Helen making you a small allowance.
Well, certainly not.
Oh, very well. But don't you ever forget that I made you a damn good offer.
An offer you should be ashamed of.
Well, I'm not. I'm what an American friend of mine would describe as the far-seeing son of a gun.
Very.
Gosh, I'm tired. Let's sit down.
Me too.
I shall live in the country a good deal when I'm married. It'll keep one away from temptation.
I love the country.
In my case, I can see that marriage will have many advantages.
I can't begin to tell you how I envy you.
Then it's not as though one had not had a good time.
No.
I have very expensive, but very pleasant memories of women, Richard.
I've only loved one woman all my life.
Oh, pity. You've missed a good deal. Son, while it lasts. I've always believed that underneath it all...
You knew, Molly.
My word, she was expensive, but she was a sweet woman. Very sweet. Oh, I liked Molly.
Very much. Very much.
Oh, Dan, is there no peace in this house?
That is very, very interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mariah. You frightened me. I was asleep.
Really?
But well, you know how one says things when one's half unconscious.
Perfectly. The last person I was married to was frequently in that condition, and I found that was the only time he spoke the truth.
But, you know, I didn't mean it.
Then why say it?
Good heavens, woman, surely
I... Don't call me woman, and don't shout at me. I'm not deaf. Richard, I'm very sorry that your afternoon sleep was disturbed by me. Very sorry.
That, I think, had put the lid on it. What would you advise me to do?
No, I've made it a rule in my life not to be concerned in any inquest. She's a most unreasonable woman.
Well, I've never known her like this. She's always given me the impression that, well, before I came here, that she'd liked me. It's a great pity.
Anything the matter?
There is, rather. Well, you see, being a little tired, I unfortunately fell asleep, and Mariah woke me with great suddenness by slamming the door, with the result that I unhappily inquired if there was no damn peace in this house.
Was she hurt or angry, Richard, dear?
Well, it was hurt, I think.
I expect so.
Oh, I could kick myself. But what do you think the best thing to do is?
George, dear,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if you would see if I left a letter on the table by the front door.
Mm, with pleasure.
Tell her to go to hell, Richard. H-E-double-L.
But
there's no letter there.
Off you go, Richard. You'll be so much happier when you've made your peace with Mariah.
You don't understand, Helen.
Believe me, I do, Richard, darling. There goes one of the sweetest men I have ever known. And although I've known him all my life, it was not until these 3 weeks which I've spent with him here that I realized how nice he is.
Oh, I agree. I made him a devilish good offer just now, and he refused it. But I'm going to insist on his accepting it.
I hope you will. Are you ready, George?
Oh, look, the sun's gone.
You mean you don't want to walk?
Oh, of course I want to walk, but I'm thinking entirely of you. The sun has gone. And incidentally, Helen, I've had some very bad news from London.
I'm sorry. It means that you will have to leave for London at once, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I've thought out every conceivable way in which I might avoid it, but alas, there is no way. I literally have to tear myself away tonight.
I'm sorry. So we don't walk?
If you don't mind very much.
Not at all. I understand.
That's why you're so delightful, Helen. You do understand.
I hope you will always think so, George, dear.
I shall. Believe me. Helen, I'm anxious to tell you something that has been in my mind for some considerable time.
Please do.
I beg of you not to consider it the impulse of youth or the lack of much consideration.
I won't, George, dear.
Very well. There is only one woman in the world that I would ask to be the Duchess of Bristol.
Who is she, George?
You, Helen.
I'm very touched. Very flattered.
And I'm very happy.
And I would like to tell you that I suppose in the whole world there is only one woman who'd refuse to be the Duchess of Bristol.
Oh? Who is she?
Me, George, darling.
You refuse? You refuse to be the Duchess of Bristol?
I do.
May I ask why?
Only because you were the Duke, George.
Only because I... Are you insulting me, Helen?
Not nearly as much as you have insulted me.
What do you mean?
You should have only asked me for my money. You should not have included me with it.
Do you suggest that I asked you to be my wife merely on account of your money?
But didn't you?
I indignantly and emphatically say I did not.
Then tell me the colour of my eyes.
Blue.
Look.
Grey.
So that was easily settled. I do hope it will not mean you're having to send yourself another telegram, George.
Oh, well, I thought all this time that you liked me.
3 weeks ago, I adored you. If you'd asked me to marry you, run away with you without being married to you, if you'd asked me anything, I would have done it. I adored you so much.
Well, then why won't you now?
I have been alone with you for 3 weeks.
Well?
And I realize you are charming until one gets used to you to look at. But nothing else. It's been my greatest disappointment.
You are telling me that I died on you. Is that it?
The second day.
Indeed. Well, that is not the experience of other women who have known me. Believe me.
May I be frank?
I insist.
Other women who've known you put up with your boredom, George, until they got the family jewels, and then they left you. But my case is rather different. I'm not only asked to return the family jewels, but I'm also asked to remain with the boredom.
Refuse to marry me if you like, but don't be impertinent.
You asked me to be frank.
Boredom, indeed. It may interest you to know that I am always being asked to dinner parties because I'm amusing.
A dinner party lasts 2 hours. Marriage has been known to last for 2 years. But you are not in that danger, George.
I am sure you won't believe it, but there are many women who would be delighted to marry me.
I'm sure there are many women who would like to be the Duchess of Bristol. Frankly, I rather wanted to be myself until I spent 3 weeks with you.
Oh, really? How kind.
I know you hate being talked to like this because you are unused to it. But your contribution to life, George, darling, is that you allowed your mother to bring you into the world, and having done that, you were quite satisfied that everyone else who's been brought into it is for the purpose of approving of you.
I'm not aware of it.
Of course you're not. I should be angry with you if you were. But take it from one who once believed she loved you. Your conceit is beyond imagination. Your selfishness has no comparison. May I give you a word of advice?
Well, it depends.
Marry Mariah.
How? Dare you? Are you being funny?
Not at all. But for selfishness, you both win the cup outright. She has money, you'd have a grand time.
If a man had said that to me, I would have knocked him down. Do you mean to tell me that I am anything like that old...
Only your clothing distinguishes you.
It's a filthy lie. I haven't one single thing in common with her.
Nonsense. If you don't get your own way about everything you sulk, so does Maria. If Richard, who has walked up that hill twice, forgets your times, you are injured.
But that is...
If he doesn't wait on her hand and foot, she is angry. So are you.
I've never allowed Richard to wait on me once.
Only because you're too busy allowing me to.
But I thought you liked it.
You thought I liked waiting on you as if I were a servant.
Well, you didn't say you didn't.
George, dear, there's one thing I like about you. You are the living illustration of the puerility of bringing a stupid man into the world with a title and taking a useful man out of it without one.
What an escape!
Thank you, George.
Hasn't Richard brought tea yet?
Oh, no. Poor darling, is he making tea?
I told him to bring it ages ago. I thought you were going for a walk.
George and I decided that as the sun was gone, and as it was very comfortable here, we wouldn't.
Is anything the matter with George? Why is he gazing into space like that?
George has had some rather bad news, Maria.
Is it bad enough?
I think so.
That's splendid.
Here we are. A little tea, a little cake, a little toast. And who cooked it, I ask?
And who forgot to send my telegram, may I ask?
All right. I'll go down after tea and send it.
And look sad all the evening. No, thank you, Richard.
Well, if you had a telephone put in, you could send for a million books a day.
I'm not in the happy position of being able to spend pounds for a telephone, which one would only use for a few months in the year. But perhaps you are.
Where are you going, George?
I'm going to the village.
What for?
To send the telegram that Richard forgot to send for you.
Have your tea first, George.
Very well.
Here you are.
Thank you very much, Maria. You are very kind.
Any sugar there, Richard?
Sugar? Sorry, I forgot. No, you are tired. I will get it.
All this before he sets fire to the house?
I don't think so.
But is something wrong with him? No, I believe he's dangerous.
Sorry I've been so long.
Don't you feel well, dear old George?
I feel terribly well, thank you.
You'd better have something to eat.
No, thank you. Don't hurry with your tea. I'm going to put the kettle on. It's my turn to do the washing up.
I'm going to my room. Fetch the doctor, Richard, and ask him to take George away. And if George asks where I am, tell him I've gone for a walk. A long walk.
A long walk?
A very long walk.
What's the matter with him, Helen?
Nothing at all. I put him on my knee and smacked him hard for the first time in his life. That's all.
The kettle won't take long.
Shall I see you before you go back to London, George, dear?
No.
Very well. Goodbye. And a pleasant journey. And if ever another girl falls in love with you, marry her the next day. It's your only chance, my sweet.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
She's been hurling those things at me in dozens.
I don't understand the damn thing you're talking about. Why are you behaving like an idiot, frightening Maria and all of us?
I'm showing Helen I'm not a bit like Maria. Heavens, that hurt me badly.
What are you talking about?
What do you think Helen said to me when I asked her to marry me?
What?
She told me that I'm an ass. I'm conceited. I'm selfish. I'm mad. I'm a bore. And I'm everything that's rotten.
Oh, well, I'm amazed.
What about me? What do you think I am? I've never been so disappointed in anybody in all my life.
You know, it's your old woman who's done this.
What old woman are you referring to?
Yours.
Maria is exactly 1 year younger than I am.
How old are you?
40.
She's a liar. She's 41, born on the same day as my stepmother.
I believe Maria. Anyhow, how is she the cause of it?
Well, this taking you away for 3 weeks and our coming with you.
Explain. Helen's found out thousands of things about me she didn't know, and she doesn't like a single one of them.
Did you, love her, George?
Oh, but how can a man harassed to death with financial troubles like I am be able to concentrate on love? It's unreasonable, Richard. Anyway, you go and get your old woman to turn you down and see how you like it.
Thank you.
But I've more sense than you have. I'm not risking it. The moment the servants arrive tomorrow, I leave a note telling her I'm sorry, but I've gone.
Coward.
Not at all. I wish to spare her the embarrassment of telling me that I have failed her. What are you going to do, George?
Something desperate.
George. We must make money.
They will try and forget I'm a duke and talk sense.
How did you lose your money?
Women.
No. I mean, how did you lose your big money?
Women.
Well, I didn't. I lost mine.
Look out.
Are you better, George?
I was never ill, Maria.
Well, I wish to tell you that your behaviour was perfectly disgraceful.
And shall I tell you why my behaviour was perfectly disgraceful?
I should like to know.
Well, I wished it to be known that I had not one single thing in common, nor am I in the least like
George.
Very well, Richard. For your sake, I won't. But I am writing to you, Maria.
It would please me very much, Richard, if you gave that young man up as a friend.
Oh, he's not a bad fellow, he's a little...
I would like to think that you'd given him up.
I see your point.
I've had a telegram. Those servants are unable to come.
Why?
They've sent me an extremely rude telegram refusing.
Brute. No matter. If you will allow me, I'll continue to do my best while you're here.
Thank you, Richard. It's very kind of you. Although we've only been here 3 weeks, I want to tell you something.
It's all right, Marara, I know.
How do you know?
Well...
Would you kindly be silent while I speak? What I have to say is a little embarrassing, and you might realise it.
I know, and I'm sorry.
I brought you to Scotland for the purpose of finding out, as you know, that if we married, would there be a chance of us both being happy?
Quite. And I would like to say now...
Would you please be quiet?
Sorry.
When I left London, I liked you very much. I almost believed that you possessed qualities that would endear yourself to me.
I know.
But I had no idea, Richard, how nice you really are.
What did you say?
What I was going to say, when you interrupted me, was that you are 1,000 times nicer than I thought you were. And I'm...
1 minute?
Would you mind waiting 1 minute while I finish what I was going to say?
Go on.
I'm not only going to marry you, but I...
What?
Don't keep interrupting. But to prove to you how much I trust you, I'm going to settle £5,000 a year on you for life. Are you pleased?
Pleased? But I'm delighted!
Ah!
And all this time I thought that I'd been irritating you to death. I almost believed that you disliked me. You'd never have any idea how miserable I've been.
But why?
Well, you were so intolerant, so horrid to me.
Horrid to you? What are you talking about? I've never been so nice to anyone in my life before.
1 minute. Let's straighten this out. Now, you know that you've tried every way of provoking me to see whether I was bad-tempered or not.
I did nothing of the kind. I wouldn't descend to anything so mean.
Nonsense. You know you did. You know you used to nag the life out of me to see whether I would answer back, and 1,000 other things you did.
What are you talking about?
Maria, you don't mean to tell me that has really been you all the time.
Of course. Are you mad, Richard?
But is this how you would have been if we were married?
Of course.
Oh, heaven be praised.
What for?
That you took me away for 3 weeks on approval.
Tell me what you mean.
How much did you say you'd settle on me?
£5,000 a year.
My income is £300 a year. And I know what it's like to feel a millionaire.
Richard, are you insulting me?
No. How long did your late husband live with you, Maria?
18 years.
What a man. What a constitution.
How dare you speak to me like that?
If you had the slightest idea how you've spoken to me during the last 3 weeks, you would be sympathetic. Maria, dear, double that 5,000, treble that 5,000. Give me every shilling you've got in the world, and then the answer would be no.
I've never been so degraded in my life.
When I left London with you, I thought, as I have thought of you all my life, the nicest woman in the world, the only woman I have ever liked. But obviously, I never knew you at all. And these 3 weeks have made me realize that you are not, and never have been, one of the things I thought of you. And as long as I live, I will love you for having given me the opportunity of finding you out. I would have married you not knowing
you. You beast! Go away!
Before I do, Maria, I have only one other thing to say to you. May God bless you for your kindness and thoughtfulness to me. Now I'll go.
Darling, what's the matter? What's happened?
Please.
Please. Calm yourself, darling. What is it?
Please make me cry, and I'm a brute.
And for the first time in your life, darling.
I'm going to my room. I couldn't bear the beast to come in here and find you being able to make me cry.
Richard.
Has she gone?
gone.
Yes. Where's George?
Sitting in front of the kitchen fire, stunned by the shock you gave him.
Mariah's lying on her bed in the same condition. If anyone had told you and me 3 weeks ago...
I wouldn't have believed them.
Surely there must be, deep down, something rather nice about George for me ever to have been able to like him as much as I did.
I suppose there must have been about Mariah.
Spoiled from the day of his birth. To make George a decent man, he needs 6 months before the master's a common sailor.
Alone with Mariah.
He needs to suffer the degradation and the humiliations of poverty.
Alone with Mariah.
Is there no way, Richard, we could do that for them?
There must be.
Let's think, Richard. Let's think.
Why don't you? It might do you good.
How dare he stay here tonight, Helen?
You must be reasonable. There's no train until 6 in the morning. Surely you don't expect Richard to wait on a cold railway platform all night, do you?
Yes, I do.
Nonsense. Besides, it's not as though they were annoying you by being in the same room. They are sitting quietly together in the kitchen. Listen. Not a sound. You wouldn't even know they were in the house, and Richard will be gone by 5 in the morning.
To think that I brought the brute here to find out if I like him, and he had the audacity, the moment I tell him I do, to tell me he doesn't like me.
Outrageous. But wasn't that the idea?
What do you mean? I didn't bring him here to find out if he liked me.
No, how silly of me.
Anyway, I don't know which of us is the luckier. I to have lost the vulgar man, or you to have discovered in time that you were anxious to marry a congenital idiot.
A month from today, you won't recognize George, darling.
That is my intention.
I meant he will be so different. Can you imagine George, kindly, tolerant, and unselfish?
Oh, don't talk such rubbish.
He's going to be.
No.
Talk of the devil.
George, who asked you to come in here?
No one, but I have the alternative of either sitting with two extremely unpleasant women in here or one strong, silent man in the kitchen.
Have you quarreled with Richard?
Ever since he ticked Mariah off, he is so conceited there's no holding him.
May I ask what sort of things he's been saying about me?
He says he is going to make it his life's work from now on to make you a decent woman. And he says he has discovered the way to do it.
How dare he say such a thing?
I know. I told him not to be a conceited ass, but he says it can be done. He's very childish tonight.
It sounds as though there were hope for you, George.
If you have anything to say to me, would you kindly address me through a third person?
Why are you wearing an overcoat, George, dear?
That is entirely my business, but if you must know, that kitchen is one mass of blasted drafts.
I'm sure you'd find the station platform much less uncomfortable than my house.
Richard and I talked it over, and we decided we would find it exactly the same.
Let me tell you one thing. If ever I meet you again after you leave here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, and you even dare to speak to me, I shall cut you publicly.
If I ever speak to you again, Mariah, I hope everyone will cut me publicly.
Helen, how can you laugh at that horrid man?
I'm not laughing, darling. I was shocked by his impertinence.
Mrs. Wislack, may I have the key of the alcohol cupboard?
No, you may not.
Very well. I won't, but may heaven have mercy on you.
Will you leave this room at once?
I will not. I am suffering from rigor, and I propose to continue with it in here.
Did you have that whiskey and soda, as I told you?
No. She whom you once loved refuses to cough up the key.
Mrs. Wislack, give me the key of that cupboard, which should never be locked.
I will do nothing of the sort.
Give it to me, I tell you.
I will not.
Then you put me in the hideous position of having to reveal myself as the man who's always known where it was. Oh, I expect it's still in the drawer of this cabinet.
Good. Here we are.
You have had the audacity to unlock that cupboard unknown to me.
Every night since I've been here, I've covered my face, with the exception of that part which is used for the purpose of drinking, with shame.
You mean to tell me that you had a whiskey and soda every night without telling me about it?
Well, only because you're cold. I'll give you one now. Mm-hmm. Oh, Helen, mm-hmm. Be good enough to fetch a small whiskey and soda.
You'll do nothing of the sort.
Silence. Helen, here's the key.
Very well.
It's all right.
I put your bag in the car.
Thank you.
How dare you whisper to my late fiancé? Ah.
Stop blowing kisses to a girl young enough to be your daughter.
Mrs. Wislack, for me to be Helen's father, I should have had to have been an enterprising boy of 15.
Oh, be quiet. You're having the same effect on me as a small boat in a very rough sea.
Me too.
Where are you going?
I wish to speak to Helen.
Oh. Well, are you going to speak to Helen? Or are you going to make that small whiskey I ordered for you?
A large one. How dare you, you cad.
Oh, I could cry with shame.
Which is precisely what you're going to do, lovey.
Oh, don't call me lovey, you hateful creature.
Ah, but you are. Mariah, during the last 5 hours, I've been thinking deeply, and I've come to two conclusions about myself.
I've come to one without thinking.
First, I realise you love me very much. Second, you are right to.
The moment you came into the room, I thought I recognised the smell of cooking sherry.
Let me point this out to you. Had it not been for my constant fidelity to you during the last 15 years, I might be standing here tonight described by the world as the Napoleon of lovers.
On the other hand, it's possible you might not.
True. But I have no regrets. And further, I still propose to remain faithful to the happy memories I have of you before I found you out.
Thank you very much.
My epitaph will be, he turned a woman who, in her youth, was one of the most unpleasant of God's creatures, into, in her middle age, a perfect pet.
Indeed. May I ask what I will be doing whilst you're attempting to do that?
Nothing. You won't know until it's too late.
Perhaps you tell me what this all means.
It means that I have not finally, as it were, given you up. Try as I will, I still care for you, Mariah.
Don't waste any more of your time.
Nonsense! One word from me, and you know you'd fall violently into my arms.
If you don't leave me, I certainly shall, but not in the sense that you mean it.
Do you realise, Mariah, that you're still a very beautiful woman?
I do. And mind your own business.
It is my business. In a month from today, you will not only be beautiful, but you will be one of the sweetest women in the world.
Please don't think me impertinent, but assuming it's necessary, how do you propose to do that?
Well, I expect so much from my idea that I even anticipate you will be so nice. I shall find myself wanting to marry you all over again.
Will you at once tell me what it is you're threatening to do?
The facts are in this letter, which is my intention to place on that table before I leave for London.
Give that letter to me at once.
Certainly not.
Just as you like. Anyway, I don't suppose I shall ever read it.
You will read it again and again. And I have no hesitation in saying, if the instructions are carried out, it will make you the woman I thought you were 3 weeks ago. It may even mean that it will bring us such happiness that rather than ever be separated from each other again, we
will be the first married couple to swim the Channel.
Exactly. Ah, no, you don't.
Beast.
Your interest is awakened. That is all to the good.
Oh, go away. I'm going to cry.
You need not yet. That is part of the instructions in this letter.
You bully.
The reverse. The most tender-hearted fellow in the world.
Well, well, well.
May I ask why you look so smug?
There wasn't any soda in the cupboard.
Look at it, I ask you.
Look well, you see it for the last time.
I'm ashamed of you.
That's disappointing, because I'm delighted with myself. You naughty old lady Mariah, locking up such beautiful whiskey.
Go to bed, you disgusting creature.
Give me that key.
Certainly. Here you are.
Oh, well. Why do you give it to me without protest?
Oh, I have my reasons. You've drunk all the whiskey. If you have, George, you will pay for it, and pay very dearly. I fear nothing. That's the type of fellow I am.
Mm. Very well.
You're not leaving me with this horrid little person, are you, Richard?
For the moment. I'm going to see if my suspicions are correct.
Boasting brute. Mrs. Wislack, I don't wish to speak to you, but I have to.
I'm very sorry, but I don't wish to speak to you.
Will you kindly be seated? I feel less frightened of you when you're sitting down.
Are you all? Say what you have to say. Say it quickly.
In the cause of both of our futures, are you prepared to call a truce for the space of 5 minutes only of our dislike of each other?
The reason?
Love.
5 minutes, then.
Richard and myself
will soon have left this house forever.
Thank
heaven. That isn't true. And moreover, if he goes tomorrow morning, you may lose him entirely. He may never want to see you again.
I hope he won't.
Very well, if that's how you feel.
They can't come back. What were you going to say?
Are you going to stop pretending?
Yes.
Do you like Richard or not?
Yes.
Do you want him to catch that train tomorrow morning?
No.
Do you love him?
Don't shout.
Do you love him?
Yes, beast.
Then why didn't you say so?
I suppose a woman's entitled to some modesty.
Not when you're on the verge of losing your loved one.
You look ridiculous enough without looking sentimental. Having discovered all this, what does it mean?
I don't want to leave here at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Why not?
Because during the last few hours, I too have discovered that I am in love.
With yourself?
Yeah. I have discovered that I am on the verge of losing one of the world's most exquisite people. Forgive me. I close my eyes. I see her divine face, her little hands, her unusual figure. To put it briefly, I love her.
What are you going to do about it?
I am going to stay here. And you don't deserve it. Keep Richard here, too.
How do you propose to do that?
At moments of seriousness such as this, damnable as it is, we must temporarily forget the word honour.
That'll be easy for you.
We must, in some way, invent a means whereby we will all stay here a little longer, thereby gaining time to win them back again.
How would you propose to do all this?
Ah, that's the catch. You can't think of any way, can you, without loss of dignity on either of our parts?
No, I can't.
No. How's your appendix?
Out.
Yes, would be. I had it.
Tell me then.
Look at me. How do I look?
Revolting.
I mean in health.
Anemic. What are you intending to do?
I am proposing to suffer from some obscure disease which will make it impossible for you to send me out of the house in the morning.
Oh.
Moreover, it will be a disease which can only be nursed by a man. That's how I remain, and also keep Richard.
How do you propose to begin this?
I shall go at once to bed.
Then?
Having given me time to fling myself upon my bed in a becoming attitude worthy of a sick man, you will call violently for Richard.
Then?
You will describe my sudden collapse, how I clutched at my heart and screamed with pain. Oh, that's funny. Having mentioned the word heart, I have a pain.
Wind.
I am a gentleman, Mrs. Wislaff.
I beg your pardon. Go on.
And you, realizing the seriousness of my condition, ordered me to bed. Send Richard to me, and I will do the rest.
You think you'll be able to convince him of your serious condition?
As easily as one could a doctor.
How do you propose to do it?
I shall rely on simple groans.
I see. If we're going to do it, hadn't you better go?
You're right. Just give me time to get upstairs and then be good enough to send Richard to me. And remember, I have undertaken the intelligence part.
Richard! Richard!
Darling, what's the matter?
George!
He's been rude to you.
No, no. I'm wondering if he'll ever be rude to anyone again.
What do you mean?
What's the matter?
Poor darling, George. We were sitting here talking to each other when suddenly he collapsed onto the floor.
Good heavens.
Where is he now? I don't know. He recovered a little and said, I'm going to my bed. Send my dear old friend Richard to me. I was so stunned by the shock, I was unable to help him.
Poor old fellow. I'll go to him at once.
Is he horribly ill, do you think?
Terribly. Oh, nice little man. So courageous. I feel so upset.
I shall go to him.
Don't. Unless I'm very much mistaken. He's persuading Richard at this moment to take his clothes off for him.
I wish I hadn't been so horrid to him.
No, he's forgiven you, I'm sure. Nice little man. I misjudged him very much.
Why doesn't Richard come back and tell me?
I gather you still like George.
Yes. I do.
There's something about George you can't help liking. Try as you will not to.
Oh, here's Richard. Quickly, Richard, how is he?
Splendid.
Splendid? Splendid? How can a man be suddenly splendid who collapsed in his room a minute ago as he did?
Too healthy, I expect.
What do you mean?
His pulse is normal. No temperature.
Well, shouldn't one of us go and fetch a doctor at once?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll go and tell George to at once.
Oh, you unsympathetic, horrid man.
Not at all. I made a marvellous suggestion to him. I pointed out to him, in the event of this being a long illness, how much nicer your room would be than the one that he was in.
Did he agree?
He didn't say. But he's in your bed.
I'm glad.
Oh, I nearly forgot. In the midst of some curious noises he was making, which I thought was singing, but which he explained to me were groans, he asked me to send you to him at once.
I would never have believed there could be anyone in this world as cruel and unsympathetic as you.
Now's our chance, Helen.
Will you explain to me what all this means?
George doesn't want to leave you tonight.
He's only pretending to be ill.
And indifferently. Twice. He had to put his head under the pillow to prevent me from seeing him laughing. I've just had a look outside. It's snowing hard. In another hour, nothing will be able to get away from here.
Mariah told me the other day that she and her husband were once snowed up here for 3 weeks.
Well, let us pray this time it'll be a month.
Is it fair to take the car and leave them without a chance in the world of getting away from here?
Fair? It's the kindest thing that has ever been done for them. Such hell as a month alone here together will make them the nicest people in the world.
It's a cruel thing to do.
You mean you don't want to leave, George?
I don't, very much.
Oh. Do you love him?
I think I do.
Then for heaven's sake, do this for them. And then I believe I'll be able to show you two people we thought we liked.
But it will kill them both.
It will cure them both. Thank heaven I won't be here when she reads this letter. I'll leave it on the table.
You ready?
Yes, sir. I hate doing it, but I know you're right.
I know I am. Come along.
Oh, poor darling George.
Poor darling Mariah.
Richard, George said... Oh, where is everyone? Yes. Oh, Richard's letter.
Has no one got the decency to come see a dying man?
Oh!
What's the matter? Oh,
read, read, don't read that.
What? Mariah and George. Snow is a foot deep. It will be deeper tomorrow. At heart, you are both very nice people, but what you need... is 6 months before the masters, common sailors, to suffer the degradations of the poor and know the humiliations of their hardships. So that you may suffer all these things and more, Helen and I leave you alone. We pray for at least a month. They're off!
Stop them! Stop them quickly! Why don't you stop them?
Because I can't run 40 miles an hour.
Oh, are they gone?
Even the lights of the car have disappeared.
Oh!
Don't break that brow. I'll never speak to either of them again.
Nor shall I. If I have to stay alone in this house with you, I shall go mad.
Have you ever been snowed up here before?
Once. For 3 weeks.
Oh, heavens. Will no one have mercy on us and come and deliver us from each other?
Nothing. Nothing will be able to get up that hill.
And you and I alone here. Until the snow stops.
Yes. I shall go to bed until it does, George.
You need not lock your door, Mariah. Only the snow will want to come in.
Mm-hmm. The idea of taking someone on approval.
Wickedly wicked.
Ah, but then Frederick Lonsdale always is.
Yes, jolly fast, wasn't it? Mind you, I think those two at the end deserve each other.
By those two, you mean Mariah Aitken as Mariah and Alex Jennings, the Duke of Bristol.
Snowed up in Scotland. How'd you like the sound of that, Ronnie?
Well, you know, I'd have preferred to buzz off in the motor like the others. Lucky John's standing.
Lucky Samantha Bond.
Well, jolly fine as Richard and Helen, weren't they? I wonder where they ended up.
In the nearest discreet hotel, if it made any sense.
I hope you're not espousing London morals, mate.
No, don't be such an old stuffed skirt. I thought it had some very refreshing ideas. And it moved along so smoothly.
Ah, that's because it was directed by Glyn Dearman, the master of sophisticated comedy.
You know, we'll be seeing more of Mr. Dearman's work tomorrow. He's directing The Vortex.
Ah, yes. I've heard. It's a teensy bit controversial.
Only if you're a stuffed shirt. Being no coward, it's full of wit and wisdom.
Your champagne, sir.
Oh, thanks. No. Hello, Mr.
Sir.
You know, it's not a bad notion, this trial run idea. No. You and Babs should try it, Ronnie, before you jump off the dock, eh?
we're not actually planning...
Do excuse Hubert. He takes a size 12.
Champagne, everyone. I must say, I'm enjoying this week of theatre going.
Oh,
it's quite an eye-opener. Thank you both.
Mm. Oh, and we're enjoying your boundless hospitality at the Ritz. Like to reciprocate on all
that. I think nothing of it. Hubert's loaded. Here's to us. And to the Vortex tomorrow.
Not forgetting tonight's entertainment. On approval has certainly got my approval. What?
We've heard that one before, Hubert.
Oh.